This is CBS News Radio 78, WBBM Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Tammy Grimes. All of us have seen, and perhaps many of us have hung, those little signs from the knobs of hotel room doors which say, "Do not disturb." Do not disturb, when you analyze its meaning, is a polite way of saying, "Don't bother me." And in this context, it becomes an invisible sign that hangs from millions of doors all over the world. Don't bother me. I don't want to hear bad news. Please, don't rock the boat. How many times, and in how many ways, and to how many people, has each of us said, "Do not disturb"?
I promised her. I promised Vera Svetig I would find the killer.
I know. Now just rest.
But don't you see? I found him.
You have? Well, that's very good. Now you just need some sleep.
You must listen. I found the killer.
All right. I believe you.
Don't you want to know who the killer is?
Of course I do. Who is he?
Who do you think? Me.
Our mystery drama, I Am the Killer, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Kid Lay. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you're going to save your garden from bugs, save yourself from extra work with an efficient garden sprayer from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to say that the Hudson Bugweiser Sprayer has a 3-gallon tank to go further on each fill-up. It comes with a long hose, extension, and adjustable nozzle for $26.49. For smaller jobs, get the Servess 1.5-gallon sprayer with rotatable controlled valve and adjustable nozzle. Just $18.49 at participating True Value hardware stores and home centers, where you'll find values in every department.
Weekdays on CBS television, there's a new, exciting, glamorous addition to the CBS family of daytime entertainment. Capital, brought to you by the creators of The Young and the Restless. Capital, the continuing story of two young lovers caught in a bitter feud between two ambitious families. Capital, desire and passion set against the backdrop of the greatest seat of power in the world, Washington, D.C. Capital, starring Rory Calhoun, Carolyn Jones, and Constance Towers. Capital, weekdays on CBS television. Check your local listings for the time.
As the corporate head of accounting for a company that uses the services of ADP,
mm-hmm.
Why ADP?
We started with the payroll, and we were quite satisfied with the service that we got.
You look satisfied.
Yeah. And from there, we went to accounts receivable and general ledger.
Can't you accomplish all those functions internally without ADP?
Our business has increased about tenfold. There's no way we could keep up. We would probably have to hire a lot more people to do it manually, and this way we get commission reports, we get comparative sales reports, things like that.
So it's time efficient and cost efficient?
Yes. That's exactly why we went there, because it is cost efficient.
You need computing, not a computer.
Absolutely. I agree with the ad. I hear it on the way to work every morning.
About ADP?
Not the ADP, the computing company.
Oh, you said that well.
Call ADP at 312-867-6400 or see the white pages.
When we think of mystery stories, we think of detectives like Sherlock Holmes or Hercule Poirot or Sam Spade or whoever our favorite happens to be. But the fact is, the greatest killers in history were not human beings at all, but tiny, mysterious, microscopic murderers. Therefore, the greatest detectives have been doctors and scientists. One of these was a most unlikely figure of a man who lived and worked almost 150 years ago. Everything about him seemed comical. His bald, bullet-like head, his excitable manner, and he even had a funny-sounding name, Ignash. The time is the early 1840s. We are in a Viennese dance hall. Johann Strauss, the elder, is leading the orchestra. One of the tables is filled with medical students trying to unwind and relax.
Excuse me, weren't you at the lecture today?
Yes.
That's right. You were the one who made a jackass of himself.
Me?
Why did you have to ask Professor Hochmeyer that stupid question?
Well, if you don't ask questions, how can you learn?
You're not there to learn.
You're not?
You are there to pass the course. And thus you move another step forward toward that certificate which entitles you to be called Herr Doktor.
But it wasn't a stupid question. Why is Allodyne the best treatment for influenza?
And you heard what he told you. Because that's the way it is, period.
I still don't think it was a stupid question.
Maybe not, but you were stupid to ask it. Obviously, he doesn't know the answer. All you did was embarrass him in front of the class.
If he doesn't know the answer, why is he teaching?
How can a doctor afford to admit he doesn't know something? The medical establishment would crumble to its very foundations.
Our ignorance can kill people.
But don't say that. They would die anyhow.
Oh, well, forget it.
My name is Johann Chiari.
I'm Ignaz Semmelweis.
Ignaz, you must be Hungarian.
And proud of it.
All right, I won't hold it against you. Well, I believe we all came here to dance. You see those girls at the table near the window?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Average.
How about the one in the blue dress?
If you like that type. A bit thin for my taste.
She'll fatten up as she gets older.
And then she'll be too fat. That shouldn't bother you. You're not going to marry her.
Oh, but I am, Ignaz. I am.
Well, then you know her.
Oh, I know who she is. Elizabeth Klein.
Klein?
Yes, indeed, my friend. Daughter of Herr Professor Klein. Director of the hospital himself.
You're not going to marry her because her father's director of the hospital.
Can you think of a better reason?
People should marry because they're in love.
People should marry for sensible reasons. Then, because they have made the right marriage, and they're happy, at that time they fall in love. Well, I think I shall ask Elizabeth to dance.
Just like that?
That's how it's done. Incidentally, the one in red...
What about her?
She's related to Count Metternich himself.
Metternich? The butcher.
Let's not have any of that. Well, true, she's only a poor relation, but he could use his influence for her.
How could I possibly have anything to do with a girl who's a Metternich? Do you know what Metternich has done to Hungary? What he wants to do? Besides, she's ugly.
No, I would say she has a strong face, full of character.
She's fat.
Voluptuous.
She's so short.
Petite.
I'm not interested.
Here I was trying to put you next to a good thing. She could make your fortune.
I'll make my own fortune. Thank you.
That was my friend, Ignaz Semmelweis. Caustic, abrasive, corrosive, like acid. A constant irritation to his professors.
But what causes the disease, Professor Klein?
That is not your concern, Herr Semmelweis.
What is my concern, Herr Professor?
Your concern is to show the proper respect to your teachers and your superiors.
But how am I being disrespectful?
By wasting the time of the class on foolish questions.
Excuse me, Herr Professor. Why are these questions foolish?
It is not the province of a doctor to determine the cause of a disease. His mission is to cure it.
But how can we cure it unless we...
Herr Semmelweis, we have already wasted enough time.
You could expect it in every class, at every lecture. He would always interrupt to ask,
how? Can this be proved? Why, Professor?
Hello, Ignaz.
Johann.
Sit down.
You mean you're willing to be seen sitting in a cafe with me?
A man has to do something dangerous now and then to keep life from becoming too dull.
Johann, you're the only friend I have.
Well, that's your fault. You're a good fellow, Ignaz, but you just...
I know.
Well, you're much too controversial. Why can't you be like everybody else and say, yes, Herr Professor. Of course, Herr Professor. How right you are, Herr Professor.
Because that would be telling a lie. Their stupidity and arrogance, Johann, at times, it's just too much. These quacks.
Not everyone at the hospital is a charlatan. Well, you have men like Kolechka, Skoda.
But most of them...
Ignash, trim your sails. Moderate your tongue. The most important thing is to become a doctor. And then, later...
There is no later. There's only now. And I refuse to develop bad habits.
What can I tell you? They despised him. But they couldn't deny his brilliance. He was the brightest one of us all. I was made a resident in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology. I like to think it was on merit, but the fact is, I did marry Elizabeth Klein. Ignash was also appointed, simply because there was no way they could have kept him out. And so he reported to me for duty because I was, after all, his senior. Obstetrics was divided into Division 1 and Division 2. We, the doctors, work in Division 1.
And who works in Division 2?
Midwives.
Midwives?
Yes. Well, thousands of women still live in the Middle Ages. They believe devoutly that babies should be delivered by midwives.
But aren't we supposed to educate?
My dear Ignash, if my own Elizabeth was ever brought in here to deliver, I would insist on placing her in Division 2.
I don't believe you.
The fact is, Division 2 is a safer place.
I can't believe it.
Consider the figures. This month alone, 36 out of 200 mothers died of childbed fever in Division 1.
That's almost one in five.
And in Division 2, where the midwives work, it's something like one in 20.
How is that possible?
And here comes the latest. Yes, the usual procession. It's headed by the lay brother and now the priest. And now the poor dead woman. See, they come from Division 1.
This is terrible. Look at her. A young girl. She's come here to create another human being. To bestow the gift of life. Why did she have to die?
You know why she died. She developed childbed fever. It's what carries all of them off.
In which ward did she die?
You saw, she came from Division 1.
We have to do something about it, Johann. This simply cannot be allowed.
Bravo, but can it wait a few hours? At this time, we are due at the morgue to assist Dr. Kolechka in some postmortems. Jakob Kolechka, the greatest anatomist of his day. How we looked forward to the hours we spent with him. A most sweet and gentle person. Even Ignash could find no fault with him. After we had performed our dissections, Ignash paused to talk.
Professor, what is the cause of childbed fever?
Ah, childbed fever. Ignash, this poor little thing, we have just had her on the table. She died of it. See how we have searched through her body for traces of the killer. But like a thief in the night, he has eluded us.
But surely, Professor, there must be some clue.
Of course. And it is probably staring us in the face. But we simply cannot see it.
They come here, and they die by the hundreds. How can we stand by and do nothing?
We do what we can. We do what we can.
And what is that?
Ignash, progress comes slowly in medicine. Problems defy solutions for hundreds of years. And then suddenly, out of the clear blue, the answer is revealed.
And meanwhile?
Meanwhile, I can only refer you to the philosophy of Hippocrates, who said, life is short, the art is long, experience is treacherous, and judgment difficult.
Perhaps. But I have neither the time nor the temperament for philosophy.
Then you must find the time and develop the temperament. Otherwise, you will lose your sanity.
What causes childbed fever? What is killing all these women in our hospital?
Perhaps one day, Ignash.
And that day will not be today. We're due at Division 1 to deliver some babies. We walked along the corridors. As I look back at it now, how dim and dismal and dingy they were. Ignash was silent. His face was set, as if in stone.
And Kolechka's the best of them. How can he sleep at night?
You'll fall asleep at night too, Ignash, after a while.
Listen, another one.
You'll get used to that, too.
I don't want to see it. Let's walk around the other way. It's coming from Division One, isn't it?
Yes, Ignash. Look, if this is how you feel, perhaps you should not have chosen obstetrics.
If I hadn't, would that have changed anything? The killer disease would still exist. The women would still be murdered.
Where his patients were concerned, I had never seen such tenderness, such sympathy, such concern. She was a little more than a child, and she was ready to give birth to a child of her own. She was poor, ragged, dirty. After all, she was only a charity patient. As he stopped by her cot, she grasped his hand.
Herr Doctor, Herr Doctor.
Yes, my dear?
Oh, Doctor, please help me.
Of course, that's why I'm here.
Save me, Doctor.
I'll do everything I can for you, my child.
Doctor, please, please.
Don't be afraid. Millions of babies are born every day all over the world. It's a normal... It's natural.
Don't let them kill me.
No. No one's going to kill you.
Yes. This is the place where they kill the mothers, right in here.
Now, who's been telling you stories?
It's true, Doctor. I wanted to go into Division 2. That's the place for the mothers who are going to live. Division 1 is where they kill us.
Oh, no.
Ask anyone. My sister died here. My friend Liesel died here. Everyone here gets the fever after the baby is born. Oh, please, Doctor, take me away from here. Put me in Division 2. Please.
My dear, you're here now. I'm your doctor. Now, look at me. Do you think I would let any harm come to you? I'm Dr. Semmelweis. What's your name?
Vera. Vera Svetik.
I promise you, Vera, everything will be all right.
But I... Oh, the pain. It's starting again. The baby.
Now, Vera, you can trust me. Say you trust me.
I trust you, Doctor. I trust you.
Of course, you probably know what has to happen now. Stories that are taken from life and reality must follow a real and lifelike logic. Sometimes that can be more fantastic than the most contrived tales of the most inventive writer's imagination. Our exploration of the human psyche and the human body continues shortly with Act Two.
Win one of four grand prize trips to Hawaii or 498 other prizes in Valuride Pharmacy Spring Sweepstakes. Entries must be received by noon, May 15th. Get contest rules and entries at participating Valuride stores and check out specials like 16-ounce ultra-rich shampoo and conditioners by L'Oreal, just $1.39. Ultra-rich is good to your hair. Helps add body and shine. Enter Valuride Spring Sweepstakes today. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Winners must be 18 or older. See the yellow pages for Valuride, America's neighborhood independent pharmacy.
How often have you asked yourself, how can I dress up my dreary old triceps?
Tattoos are too painful, body paint too messy.
Well, the Bob and Ray research staff has licked the problem with Easter Seals, the symbol of support for disabled kids and adults.
Easter Seals, great for brightening those drab patches of exposed skin.
Now with a delicious patented glue that really sticks to your ribs or any other part of your anatomy.
Easter Seals. They take a licking and keep on sticking.
Fact. Friction robs your car of gas mileage. What can you do? Fact. Use the black motor oil, Arco Graphite, the oil that reduces friction better than any other leading motor oil. Because Arco Graphite is the only leading oil that contains graphite, the lubricant that reduces gas-robbing friction better than any other leading oil. That's why it's a fact that Arco Graphite gives you better gas mileage than the other leading motor oils and saves you more gas money, too. Arco Graphite, the oil that's fact, not friction.
Arco Graphite is the premium black motor oil that reduces friction better than many other leading motor oils. Arco Graphite reduces engine wear and gives better gas mileage than other leading oils. Arco Graphite, the oil of tomorrow, is here today.
Mm-hmm.
can't fight City Hall. How often have we heard it said? Actually, City Hall need not refer to the municipal building that houses the government administration. City Hall has come to stand for the establishment, the established way of doing business, and the established patterns of thought. After all, go back a few thousand years. It was City Hall that forced Socrates to drink the hemlock, and it has been pouring similar beverages for dissenters ever since.
Please, Doctor, don't let me die.
I promise you, Vera, I'll do everything I can. Now, don't be afraid. You're going to have a beautiful baby.
And she did. It was a classical textbook delivery. No complications at all. Everything smooth and regular as clockwork. Absolutely nothing went wrong.
Doctor?
Here's your son, Vera.
My son? Oh, then it's a boy.
Yes.
Heaven be praised.
You wanted a boy, didn't you?
Oh, yes, Doctor, yes. This world is no place for a girl, especially for the kind of girl she would have to become. A girl like me.
But you're a very nice girl, Vera.
Where else could she grow up, if not where I grew up, on the streets? And where else could she earn her living, but on the streets? It isn't as if she has a father who's a millionaire, or a grand duke.
Who is her father?
I don't know.
Well, you get some sleep now. You had a hard morning.
Yes, Doctor.
How do you feel?
All right.
How does she look to you, Johann?
Well, pulse seems regular. Breathing appears normal. Color is fine.
Yes, I thank the good Lord. This one will survive.
The following day, Ignash asked for and received a short leave from his duties. He disappeared from sight. I was at a complete loss to account for it. I was his best friend, and he hadn't told me a word. Where had he gone? What was he up to? Some days later, as unexpectedly as he had vanished, he returned to the hospital.
Please, don't ask me where I've been, Johann. I can't tell you.
And here I thought we were such good friends.
We are. Believe me, we are, but I...
Maybe I can tell you. You were always so pale, but now your face, your hands are burned by the sun. It appears you've been outdoors quite a bit. Why?
I can't tell you.
Well, again, maybe I can tell you. You've been drilling.
Drilling? What are you saying?
With that crazy band of revolutionists, the Citizens' Army. Army? Rabble is more like it. Why have you worked so hard? So that you could throw your life and your career away on some barricade? We are doctors. We are above politics.
But we are not above humanity. We are not above freedom. We are not above justice.
I should have known better than to get you started.
All right, let's get to work. I've got a great deal of catching up to do. How are things in our maternity division?
No better.
They still die.
Yes.
And nobody does anything.
Nobody knows anything.
That young girl, how is she?
Well, which young girl?
You know, the one who begged me to transfer her to Division 2.
Well, I don't know. There are so many of them, and they come and go so quickly.
What was her name? I can't seem to remember. Oh, no. Not another one. Why? Why do they have to march like that through the hospital corridors?
Come now. You can't get angry at everything all the time.
Reverend Father, what is the name of the...
My son, we pray for the soul of Vera Svetik.
Vera Svetik. That was her name. I remember now. That was her name. No, she can't be dead. I promised her she would live. She cannot be dead.
But she was. From a living, breathing human being, she had become a statistic. The 37th victim claimed by childbed fever that month. We were well on our way to a record. We went to the morgue for our session with Dr. Kolechka. Ignash gave him no rest.
She came to you here?
Yes, Ignash.
You did the postmortem?
Yes, Ignash.
What did you see? What did you find? What did you learn?
The answer to all three questions. Nothing.
There is a killer running loose in our maternity division. We must find that killer.
And we will. We will search through the body. We will keep looking through the tissue. The murderer is in there. Right now, we cannot see him. But he cannot hide forever. If we live long enough and work hard enough, in time, we will learn all the answers.
But we cannot expect to live forever.
In time, both Ignace and I were promoted. I became Dr. Klein's surgical assistant. True, I had married his daughter, but I liked to think it was on merit. And Klein surprised everyone by naming Ignace head of maternity, Division 1. Now the ward was his to run as he saw fit. He could tell the other doctors what to do and how to do it.
Why? Why has Klein given me this promotion?
Because you deserve it.
No, I don't believe that. No, he has some ulterior motive.
Ignace, sometimes you have to give even a man like Klein credit for a decent action.
Of course, it's obvious. Division 1 is a disgrace. All Vienna knows it's a death trap. And he's made me its chief to frustrate me, to destroy my reputation.
Why can't you believe he gave you the job because he knows you're the best man? If anyone can stop the deaths that take place there, you are the one.
You think so? Let's find out. I'll challenge him. I'll ask him for money, for personnel, so that I can experiment and do research. Yes, I'll throw down the gauntlet.
No, don't do that. Listen to me. Don't demand. Appeal to his vanity. Say to him, Dr. Klein, I have learned so much from you. You have been such an inspiration to me.
What?
I want to work under your wise, guiding hand.
Do you think he would swallow such bald-faced flattery?
Oh, he would eat it up. I know him.
I am not concerned with flattering the vanity of Herr Dr. Klein. I want to save the women who are condemned to die of childbed fever.
Unless you do the first, you will have no chance to accomplish the second.
Yes, Dr. Semmelweis.
Dr. Klein, I sent you a letter proposing some experimental techniques that might be used in divining the causes of childbed fever.
Oh, yes, I looked at it.
What do you think?
I think we can put our time and our money to far better use, Doctor.
Better use? What can be better than discovering the killer of thousands of women each year? What can be more important than learning the cause of childbed fever?
We know the cause of childbed fever.
We do?
Of course. Dr. Semmelweis, you are a good physician, but you are always crusading and stirring up a fuss about one thing or another. So you neglect to listen to those who might be able to give you wise counsel.
What is the cause of childbed fever, Dr. Klein?
Miasmic telluric influences.
Dr. Klein, I'm serious.
Are you saying I am not?
Miasmic telluric influences?
You have never heard of them?
Yes, but it's a...
But what?
I thought it was a joke.
Why would it be a joke?
Miasmic telluric influences. What it says is that childbed fever is caused by a miasma, a kind of poisonous vapor that arises from decaying animal or vegetable matter.
You have stated it quite succinctly, Dr. Semmelweis. And when these vapors arise from a swamp, they cause malaria.
But that's impossible.
Impossible? Why?
How do you account for the fact that childbed fever only attacks the women in Division 1?
We are not required to account for it.
Why not the same fatalities in Division 2?
Luck, fate, predestination, take your pick.
But none of these have anything to do with medical science. This is superstitious nonsense.
Really, Dr. Semmelweis, this interview is over.
I heard all about it, Ignace. You did everything you shouldn't have.
Oh, the man's an idiot.
True, but he's your idiot. You have to work with him.
Miasmic telluric influences.
Why don't you transfer to another service? I did. And my life is so much happier. No more childbed fever.
I broke my promise to Vera Svetik.
She's not the only one who died.
To me, she represents all of them. Every woman in that ward who looks up at me with hope and trust in her eyes. And I betray them all, just as I betrayed her. I'm going to find that killer, Johann, if it's the last thing I do.
It may well be. But what's the first thing you're going to do?
Klein says that those who are placed in Ward 1 are predestined, marked by fate to die. I'll make him eat those words.
But what are you going to do?
Come down to Division 2 and watch me.
Good morning, Dr. Semmelweis.
Good morning, Sister Margaret. How are things in Division 2 today?
Very fine, Dr. Semmelweis. We haven't had a single case of childbed fever here in over a week.
Yes, so I understand. Tell me, how do you account for it?
How do I account for it? Is the doctor asking me?
Yes.
Since the doctor honors me, just an ignorant midwife with that question...
Never mind this nonsense. If you suspect anything at all, you must tell me.
Since the doctor is speaking frankly, I can only suspect that midwives are more successful at delivering babies than doctors.
Obviously. But why?
I cannot say, doctor.
It has been suggested that the women who come to Division 1 are destined to die, while those who are sent to Division 2 are destined to live. Now, what do you think of that?
Who has suggested this ridiculous theory?
Dr. Klein, the director of the hospital.
Oh, well, then, in that case, it is probably quite valid.
Let's find out. We shall move all your Ward 2 patients into my Ward 1, and all my Ward 1 patients in here.
Oh, no.
No?
I am the head of Division 2. I refuse.
My good woman, you may be the head of this division, but I am the head of the entire Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology. We will make the change. At once.
But to move all the patients...
No. The patients will remain where they are. The staffs will move. All your women will go and work next door. All my doctors and medical students will come and work in here. And so, we shall see.
And so shall we, in Act 3. This is what's known as the scientific method. You prove something by doing it. Seeing is believing. That is, where logical, sensible people are concerned. The problem is, we don't seem to have very many of those. At any rate, we shall see.
Thank you.
Quick, open that package.
The Metamucil? Honey, we're still in the store.
Right now, you could win big in Metamucil's Instant Riches Sweepstakes. See specially marked packages for game cards and entry details. You can win up to $10,000 or valuable shopping sprees. And there's something for everyone.
40 cents off my next purchase of Metamucil.
Let's buy another.
People are staring.
Play Metamucil's Instant Riches Sweepstakes while supplies last. Void where prohibited by law. No purchase necessary. Read label and follow directions.
This is WBBM Chicago.
I'm Beverly Sills. You know, just living has taught me to appreciate the value of every baby's life and its potential talent. There have been many writers, painters, and musicians who have shown us all what the struggle over handicaps is like. I've seen similar triumphs through the March of Dimes. As national chairman for the Mother's March on Birth Defects, I ask you to volunteer for the Mother's March this year. The March of Dimes saves babies. You can help. Please.
I've had my share of winning teams over the years, but one of the best teams ever fielded, in my opinion, is not at the stadium, it's in the library. This is Ara Parsegian, and I'm here to urge you to check out the teamwork at your library. You'll discover a winner. If you're looking for the answer to a question, any question, just dial the library's telephone reference center. In most libraries, there are specifically trained teams who can find the information you need. Maybe your reading skills aren't up to par. Don't let that stop you from getting ahead. Start with the library. Many offer reading programs, and if yours doesn't, the team of librarians will know where to send you. And just in case you've forgotten, the library is one of the nation's great inflation fighters. Almost all services and programs are free. Whether you need to know how to play a better game, how to shop smart, or how to save energy at home, the library's team can help you score. Use your library and support its team.
A public service message from the American Library Association and this station.
All the things we never think about. all those things we take for granted. Freedom, justice, equality, beliefs. It's so hard to realize how even the most simple propositions, the earth is round. Diseases are caused by germs, as I said. It's so hard to believe that all these things had to be won. People had to suffer and even die before society accepted them. Contrary to Mr. Emerson's belief, if a man builds a better mousetrap, the world does not beat a bath to his door. More often, it beats him to death.
Well, they changed the personnel, and thus changed the divisions. But this still did not stop the slaughter. The doctors kept losing a number of their patients to childbed fever. The midwives lost many fewer.
At least Klein has been proved wrong.
What good does it do to prove him wrong? You have to be proved right.
Those midwives, they know the answer.
I don't believe it. If they knew it, they would tell it.
That's just it, Johann. They don't know that they know the answer.
How is that possible?
I must simply spend my time there. I must observe how they work. I must ask questions.
If you wanted to find Dr. Semmelweis, he was usually poking about Division 2, watching, asking questions. The poor midwives were really quite embarrassed. Sister Margaret actually complained to Dr. Klein. And once again, Ignaz was treated to a lecture.
Do you wish to resign your position as associate head of obstetrics and gynecology, Dr. Semmelweis?
No, Dr. Klein. Who said that?
Obviously, you consider yourself unqualified. You ask the most basic questions of a midwife, of all people.
We can learn from anyone, from everyone.
Really? What can we learn?
Perhaps answers to those questions that are eluding us.
Such as?
Such as what causes childbed fever.
Again? We know what causes childbed fever. Miasmic telluric influences.
Then why doesn't it cause childbed fever in Division 2?
That is not your concern. You are required to deliver these women of their babies.
And kill them at the same time.
You are not the one who is killing them. No, Doctor. Now, we have had enough of this entire affair. Go back to your work and do not let me hear another word about that infernal affliction.
Sister Margaret.
Yes, Doctor?
I've noticed something. In your division, you deliver the women while they are lying on their sides.
Yes, sir.
Now, in Division 1, they lie on their backs. Could this have some significance?
I don't know.
Well, why do you have them lie on their sides?
Why?
Yes, why?
Well, I don't know.
Well, surely there must be a reason.
We do it this way because it seems to me that we have always done it this way.
Can you think of any advantages?
No.
But how does it happen?
Doctor, some years ago, when the division was first formed, probably at the very beginning, whoever was head midwife said this is how women would be delivered. And that is how it's been ever since.
If you were the director of this hospital and had absolute powers, what would you do about this childbed fever epidemic?
Since you have asked me in confidence, I can only say this. I would do away with all obstetrics and gynecology. I would prohibit doctors from delivering babies. By law, I would restrict that function to midwives.
But surely you'll admit that there are certain births that are beyond the skill of a midwife. Certain deliveries that require cesarean surgery. Those women would die without doctors. Admit that.
Yes, but most births are simple. Yet more women die from childbed fever. What is obvious, sir, is that the doctors kill more than they save.
Are you saying that we doctors are killing these women?
Am I? No. I am only saying that more of them die when you deliver them.
Well, Ignaz, what have you learned from the midwives?
We kill more mothers than they do.
You haven't found out why?
I need money, Johann. If only I could convince your father-in-law. Maybe you could say something to him.
Your name is taboo around the house, Ignash, and the fact that I'm your friend doesn't endear me to him either.
We cannot save the living, but we can learn from the dead. The doctors on my service will have to work closer in the morgue with Dr. Kolechk.
Poor Ignash. Maybe the answer is staring you in the face.
Probably.
And they did work, without let-up. It becomes a matter of pride. They were young doctors and students, and Ignash had fired them with his enthusiasm, or fanaticism. And day after day, they all studied with Kolechka in the morgue. And then, one morning, a seemingly trivial event occurred.
Gentlemen, on the table is a woman who has been killed by our nemesis, childbed fever. Dr. Kolechka will lead the study, and one of you shall assist him in the dissection. Let me see. Herr Schleuter, this will be your first time. Step forward. Dr. Kolechka.
Oh, yes, yes. Young man, Herr Schleuter, is it? Pick up the scalpel and make a lateral incision here across. No. You cannot cut so deeply, young man. You are not slicing a melon. Gently. Here. No. Here, let me hold your hand. And now to get...
I'm sorry, doctor.
Doctor.
No. It's all right. It's all right. It's just a cut.
Here, let me.
No. It's a hazard. All of us anatomy instructors must live with. See, it bleeds cleanly. It is not very deep. I'll dress it myself. Dr. Semmelweis, will you finish the demonstration?
Yes, of course, Herr Doctor.
Suddenly, things went badly in Division 1. The death rate, always high, went even higher. Ignash went without sleep. He spent days and nights at the hospital. I was afraid his health would be broken. Ignash, you must get some rest.
Does the killer ever take a rest?
The killer?
Yes, the killer. The killer that stalks my Division 1. The killer that strikes without mercy and at random. The killer that is never sated but needs more and more victims.
Ignash, I think I once said the answer might be staring you in the face.
Well, if it is, I don't see it. Do you see it? Do you see it, Johann?
Perhaps.
Then tell me. Tell me. Who killed my little Verisvetic?
Providence.
Providence? You've been infected by your father-in-law.
A kindly providence.
Kindly.
Poor Verisvetic. First a child, and then a woman of the streets. But what did she have to look forward to? Cold, hunger, disease? How much longer did she have to live in any event?
I can't believe you're saying this, Johann.
All of the... Well, most of them. Who are they? The homeless, the waifs, the prostitutes, the dregs of society.
They're human beings.
Of course. But perhaps they're better off dead.
No one is better off dead.
Maybe this is nature's way.
Nature?
Yes, nature is cruel. Nature sends us wars and famines and pestilence. Why? So that we are not crowding one another off the face of the earth.
And that's why they die of childbed fever.
Well, it could be the reason.
I cannot accept it. I will not accept it. The killer will be caught. And I shall catch him in the morgue. I go now to work with Dr. Kolechka.
His eyes were so feverish. He seemed so excited, I was afraid to let him go alone. And just as well. When we arrived at the morgue, we were greeted by a shattering piece of news. The place was empty, except for the porter.
Where's Dr. Kolechka?
Oh, haven't you heard, sir?
Haven't I heard what? Why is there no class being held here?
Well, Dr. Kolechka is dead.
Dead? No, that's impossible. He can't...
I am sorry, Your Honor.
But I spoke to him just a few days ago. I tell you, he was in perfect health.
Yes, sir. They say he died of blood poisoning.
Yes, that is exactly what had happened to Jakob Kolechka, a great doctor, an even greater human being. Blood poisoning. That's what the diagnosis had been. And that's what the post-mortem had proved.
How? How did he get it, Ignash? How? It might have been... Wait. I know
You know?
Yes, and you do too. Or you should.
Well, how would I know?
You were there when it happened. You saw it happen.
What?
Schleuter. That clumsy, heavy-handed medical student. He was assisting Kolechka at an autopsy.
Well, what does this have to do with...
Schleuter didn't know how to make the proper incision. Kolechka held his hand to give him a feel of the right pressure. The knife slipped in Schleuter's fingers and cut Kolechka. You saw it. That's how Kolechka became infected.
That's how?
And that's how they get it.
That's how... Who gets what?
The women. That's how they get childbed fever.
Now, wait. We were talking about blood poisoning.
Isn't that precisely what childbed fever is, Johann? Johann! I've been searching for the killer day and night without rest, and I found him. Do you know who he is? Me. I am the killer.
Ignaz, you need some rest, some sleep.
I am the killer. I killed Vera Svetik. I came from the morgue with the infection on my hands, loaded with diseases. I came to Division One to deliver babies. I killed Vera Svetik. All of us killed her.
Ignaz, you can't just blame yourself.
Why? Why don't they die in Division Two? It's so simple. Midwives do not perform autopsies. Midwives do not attend pregnant women with diseases on their hands. Why didn't we see it? Why couldn't we see it? Now listen to me. Here's what we're going to do. Every doctor, every student who comes into Division One will first wash his hands with soap and water and then rinse them in chlorine. Those are my orders.
Those were his orders, and the basins were supplied. And as you can well imagine, there was considerable complaining and grumbling. And Dr. Klein fairly exploded.
What is this nonsense, Dr. Semmelweis?
This nonsense has been in effect for almost 2 weeks. And in that time, we have had not one single death due to childbed fever. How do you account for that, Dr. Klein?
Very simple. The miasmic telluric influences are obviously on the wane.
The idiot! What does it take to make him admit his mistake?
Don't you understand, Ignaz? He can't afford to admit that all these deaths could have been prevented by just a few basins of chlorine solution. He has to fight you to the end.
I am the killer, Johann. All this time, I was the killer.
It took years before everyone finally saw what should have been obvious in the first place. We say, there are none so blind as those who will not see. It might be illuminating to find out why so many people prefer the darkness to the light. I shall return shortly.
Hi, I'm Landon Saunders. This is Heartbeat. Are you depressed? Is it hard to get out of bed in the morning? Do you look forward to, well, nothing? Perhaps some chain of events, something you couldn't control, has affected your life. Maybe you've lost your job or experienced the death of a family member or a friend. Whatever the cause, you're depressed. You're not able to shake the feeling of gloom that hangs over your head. Well, I've got news for you, and it's good news. There's a way to handle your depression. And here's one idea. Decide that you have the ability to decide what your life is going to be like and how you're going to feel about life. To get more suggestions on how to handle depression, just put the word depression on a postcard or in a letter and send it to me at this address. Heartbeat, Hartford, Connecticut, 06142. Ask for the depression plan. It's free. The address, Heartbeat, Hartford, Connecticut, 06142. This is Heartbeat.
Listen to what happened to Brenda, another reader, or is it victim of Ravenhouse paperback mysteries?
I was at the carnival with my boyfriend Greg when I saw a murderer. He was on the carousel going round and round on a pink horse. I said, Greg, that's him! He killed Marcia! The killer heard me and took off into the House of Mirrors. I left Greg standing there and chased after him. Oh, it was frightening! Everywhere I looked, there he was. Tall, short, fat, thin.
Raven House mysteries. Which one will claim you as its victim?
I had to apologize. Imagine, I had him confused with a character in my Raven House mystery.
Raven House publishes new mysteries every month. If you're clever enough, you'll find Raven House mysteries wherever paperbacks are sold.
What happened to Dr. Semmelweis afterward? He had to spend the rest of his short life defending his findings, even though you would think they spoke for themselves. In the end, the struggle broke his health and destroyed his mind. He had to be placed in a sanitarium for the insane. And the final irony? He died of blood poisoning. The knife slipped in his hand while he was performing an autopsy. And so even though he had defeated the killer, in the end, the killer had defeated him. Our cast included Keir DeLay, Lloyd Batista, Mandel Kramer, and Evie Juster. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Raven House Paperback Mysteries. This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Presidential news conference. Among other things, the president says the U.S. would have great difficulties if a right-wing government in El Salvador veered from promised social reforms. This is Rob Armstrong reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president declined to outline what specific actions his administration might take if a right-wing government in El Salvador abandoned such social changes as land reform, but he praised the electoral process there. The president also embraced a proposed resolution in the Senate calling for negotiation of a nuclear arms freeze at drastically reduced but equal levels. Mr. Reagan rejected a proposal for a freeze at current levels. On domestic matters, the president labeled as fairy tale stories that he has abandoned the nation's needy with his budget cuts, and he said his economic policies have already borne fruit.
Inflation started down before there was any recession, and I think we had something to do with that.
Albert Cox, Jr., president of Merrill Lynch Economics, says it's not quite that simple.
We've more or less really had a recession of sorts for, it really is almost 3 years now. And that, of course, precedes the time he was in office, so it would be pretty hard to disentangle the impact of that from the tone of things, and which probably lessened inflationary expectations and some inflationary behavior because of the government spending that was cut and the budget cuts and so forth. They probably did contribute.
President Reagan also repeated his commitment to defense spending and tax cuts while saying he remains flexible on the 1983 federal budget. CBS News continues after this message.
Thursday on CBS television, on Cagney and Lacey, a bank robbery in Chinatown ends in a deadly shootout. And Cagney's retired father is determined to get back into action.
You were terrific, and that's how we got the lead on the driver of the car.
Well, so now you're trying to get rid of me, huh?
Papa, I just don't want you to get hurt.
Well, Lacey fears the worst.
One of us killed a man, Lieutenant. Made his wife a widow. I'd like to know which gun.
Don't miss the dramatic action on Cagney and Lacey, Thursday night at 9, 8 Central and Mountain, on CBS television.
Win one of four grand prize trips to Hawaii or 498 other prizes in Valurite Pharmacy Spring Sweepstakes. Entries must be received by noon, May 15th. Get contest rules and entries at participating Valurite stores. And check out this prize on L'Oreal Premier Perm. All new improved formula helps protect your hair as you perm with moisture protection barriers. L'Oreal Premier Perm, just $2.19. Enter Valurite Spring Sweepstakes today. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Winners must be 18 or older. See the yellow pages for Valurite, America's neighborhood independent pharmacies.
Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger is due in the Philippines at this hour, the third stop in his current Asian tour. More from Gabby Tabunar in Manila.
From the airport, Weinberger will proceed directly to the presidential palace to hold talks with President Marcos on matters affecting the agreement under which the United States uses the two military bases here, Subic Bay Naval Base and Quark Air Base, both within 50 miles northwest of Manila. Marcos said earlier he would press for an early renegotiation of the bases treaty to remove what he called inequities and irritants. The military bases agreement was amended 2 years ago and is not due for renegotiation until 1984. Washington describes the two bases here as essential to the maintenance of the military balance in Southeast Asia. Subic Bay is the repair and support base for the U.S. 7th Fleet, and Quark Air Base is the home of the 13th Air Force. There are about 31,000 U.S. personnel and their dependents in these last two American military outposts in Southeast Asia. Weinberger will visit Subic Bay and Quark Air Base before returning to Washington. The Philippines is the third and final stop on his first swing through Asia. Gabby Tabunyar for CBS News, Manila.
Avalanches have roared down the mountains in the Lake Tahoe area of the California-Nevada border. Two people have been killed, two others were injured when avalanches buried an auxiliary building in the parking lot of the Alpine Meadows ski area. A search is underway for more possible victims. The ski area has been closed since the weekend because of heavy snow and the danger of snow slides. That volcano in southern Mexico has spewed out more molten rocks and ash, the mountain's second eruption in 4 days. More news after this.
If you're the parent or loving relative of a 7 to 10-year-old, here's an opportunity to do something very special that your child will appreciate for years to come. Take advantage of this special introductory offer to Cricket Magazine and help your child discover the pure enjoyment and pleasure of good reading. Cricket is full of laughter and knowledge and all the things that excite and challenge young minds. Every month, Cricket brings a parade of could-have-been or might-be-someday stories, along with magic tricks, puzzles, and dozens of other delicious odds and ends of fact and fancy that 7 to 10-year-olds love. To encourage you to find out just how good a children's magazine can be, Cricket is offering this no-obligation 8-month subscription for only $8.97. If the first issue doesn't convince you and your young reader that Cricket is the very best children's magazine around, then the first issue is yours to keep free. To order, call 800-228-5000 and tell the operator you want to order Cricket's 8-month subscription for $8.97. The number to call, 800-228-5000, toll-free, 800-228-5000, except in Nebraska.
Talks between the United Auto Workers Union and the American Motors Corporation have broken off over the issue of the number of supervisors AMC wants to keep at several plants. For a week now, both sides have reported slow but steady progress. After it was announced that the negotiations had collapsed, the union and the company both said they believe the talks will start up again, possibly in the next week or so. Rob Armstrong, CBS News.
This is CBS News Radio 78, WBBM Chicago.
And with just about 30 minutes left before midnight, this is Alan Bickley on News Radio 78 in Chicago.